Turn your Bibles, if you would please, to Mark chapter 8. If I have any voice left after this, it'll be a miracle. Amen. We believe in miracles, though, so that's good. But I think it's a very needed message here today. And I've added it. I'm going to have Brother Aaron add it to the Christian Life series that I preached a few years ago. But there isn't anybody in this room that will not be impacted by this in some way, I believe, because we need it. It's called the self-denying Christian life. And it's a problem, amen? Self-denial and is a problem, but it's a creeping thing that comes back upon us as we're Christians for a long period of time. We begin to indulge in ourselves a little bit too much. We begin to focus on ourselves a little too much. We can become, you know, where our eyes are really on ourselves, and the comparison of everyone around us is to ourselves. And we have to be careful about that, all right? And then everything becomes about us if we're not careful. So I want to talk to you about this self-denying Christian life. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to pray first. Father, Lord, I pray you'd be with us now and help us. Lord, help us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Lord, we need to be reminded of this daily. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Dear God, help us to die to self. Help us to deny self every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse number 33. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Now, why did he say that to him? Well, we'll get into that. He's talking, obviously, to Peter, all right? And Satan, all right? There's a couple messages going on here, okay, that he's giving here. But and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said to them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. To compare in Luke chapter 9, the text is comparable there in Luke chapter 9. Saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said unto them all, if any man, it's important words, see that? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. You listening? Daily. This is not a one-time occurrence. This is not just at salvation. It's daily. Daily. And follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, we see the same story being told, the same account being told by two different people. And the message the Holy Spirit drives home is, in the beginning of conversion, obviously, when you're being converted, you pick up you're denying yourself. You're showing yourself to be a wicked, what you are. God has revealed it unto you that you are wicked. Amen? And you've got to turn to Christ and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he says here, first of all, he said, whosoever will come after me. You know, I do not believe a man is a believer in Christ and born again, but not a disciple. I used to believe that, by the way. I do not believe that any longer. The longer I've been in the scriptures, I do not believe it's possible. I do not believe it's possible because you don't see that in the scriptures. You see, and we're going to go through a lot of scripture, and I may have to cut this in half and finish it in the afternoon service over there in the hot box. But over there in that little room over there. And then we'll have testimonies, everything else, because it won't be that long. But maybe I'll get through it. We'll see. I'm hoping so. Amen. Hey, man, I don't even want to hear it, all right? I see it. He posts on Facebook, on Sermon Audio, an hour and a half long, 95, and I edited some of it, too. Give me a break. Amen. Amen. But I don't believe any longer that a man can be a believer and not a disciple. I don't see that in the scriptures. I used to think that. But after I studied long and looked at things, I started to see things a little bit differently from the scriptures, to where I don't believe in fruitless Christianity. I just don't. It's not there. Amen. I used to preach that, but the further I studied, I realized it. But a new creature, let me say this. I preached a sermon called Believer, Disciple, or Both. Trash that thing, okay? Thank you. You see it online somewhere, trash it, all right? Get rid of it. All right? Amen. That's repentance, by the way. Amen. I'm not afraid to be wrong, so I can be right. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's right. That's right. I want to follow the Lord. Luke 9:23, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. By the way, that's any man. He said any man. Mankind. Lady, woman, man, whatever. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Any man. He says in another place, whosoever will come after me. Believers are disciples. Unless they are those who do not have saving faith. Amen. Devils believe and tremble. Turn to John chapter 6, verse 61. We're going to show you some of these. And by we'll get into this self-denying. But we're going to get started first and understand this. John chapter 6, verse number 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, doth this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, I want you to notice something for a second here. The flesh profiteth nothing. See that? Why do you think self-denial is so important? Daily. Because your flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. You mean they're not dead in trespasses and sins, word? No, they're life. Life.
Amen.
Reminds me of Christian when he was running out of the city of destruction. Life, life, eternal life.
Glory to God. Amen.
Remember that?
Yep.
That's right. He said, Jesus went on to say, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man could come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because they didn't have saving faith. A disciple's a follower. What happened to them? They left. I'll show you what happened to them in a second, okay? But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning. Remember, we just read that, from the beginning who they were. That believe not, and who should betray him? And who should betray him? We see there's two different categories. Those that believe not, and who should betray him? See that? They were the ones that believed not were the ones that went back. And the one that betrayed him was who? Judas. He knew it. What does it remind you of? Well, John says it again. He illustrates it in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 19. They went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That's what he's talking about. Those people that turned their back and walked away. It's that simple. Then people don't like those numbers in Scripture either, do they? That John 666, they don't like that. A lot of people don't like that. Do you believe it? What do you believe about that? Why? I believe it was saying they were Antichrist. They left him and they walked away from him. Just like 666, that was a mark. That King James, yeah, those numbers, you know, those numbers. That, you know, come on now, preacher. Those numbers don't really mean anything, do they? Oh, yes, they do.
Amen.
Everything in that book means something. Everything. Everything. Amen. See, these same people are referenced in Mark chapter 4. Turn there, Mark chapter 4, verse number 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. And then the last are these which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen? They're not all the same. There's different. There's different levels of fruitfulness. Like Brother Russ talked about in his sermon last week, there's different levels. There's 30, some 30, some 60. But there's always fruit. There's not zero. He didn't say it on good ground was zero. By the way, how would you like to be saying, well, I'm saved, but I'm on thorny ground? First of all, it doesn't make any sense, okay? I mean, ask people that grow gardens, right? That doesn't make any sense at all, right? No, I'm one of those stony ground hearers, but I'm saved. Wait a minute. You don't grow things on stone. I mean, you just can't throw it on seeds on the stone. Doesn't work that way, right?
Right. No fruit.
That's right. No root, no fruit. That's right. That's right. It's purge and cast into the fire. That's right. Amen. So you see the difference. Those are disciples who followed Christ. They were true believers. They believed on him and they followed him. So what must that true believer be then after he has believed on Christ and been born again and sealed on the day of redemption? What about my sanctification then? What am I to do? You must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. There is no other way for the Christ life but to deny yourself. Was it not what your Savior did? Did he not deny himself? Did he not, the greatest man born among women, do the same thing, John the Baptist? He must increase, but I must decrease. Did he not say the same thing? Where are those that are professing Christians today? Those Christians that will deny yourself. Deny yourself. Your will, your ambition, your desire, your plan, your way to do it. You got it all figured out. That's not self-denial. It's not. It's not self-denial. Self-denial means, Lord, doesn't matter what I want. It matters what you want. Doesn't matter if I'm comfortable. Doesn't matter if I feel good about it. It doesn't matter, because I'm to deny myself. Not everything's about me in this life. It's about Jesus. Yeah. The whole world, everything that was created was about him. Everything that was made pictured Christ and his glory and his majesty. Everything! But some of you have decided to make everything about you. Sometimes we all make everything about us. Comes back to us. Wonderful. Let's make everybody miserable because everything's about us. Think about it. What did Jesus say about him? He said, "Verily I say unto you about John the Baptist, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." What was John's What did he do? He was the forerunner. What did he do? He pointed people to Christ. He didn't point people to himself. Yeah, it wasn't John the Baptistic either, by the way. It wasn't John the Baptizer, by the way. It was John the Baptist.
Amen!
That'll cost him. Right now, there are Protestants everywhere just going into convulsions. But anyway. That's right. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You know, Spurgeon said this, "Be content to be nothing, for that is what you are." When your emptiness is painfully forced upon your consciousness, chide yourself that you ever dreamed of being full except in the Lord. Do you understand that? Think about that for 1 second. One of the greatest preachers in the last 200 years, and what did he say? Be content to be nothing. Why? Self-denial. Amen? Self-denial. You know, it's the opposite of selfishness, which is too prevalent today among those that name the name of Christ. Selfishness, everything about them has to be their way. Could not suffer themselves to be defrauded one bit or 1 second. Somebody says a bad word to you and you got to have a lip sticking out so far a bird can land on it. Right? Oh, because somebody said something bad. Somebody said something off color to me. Somebody said something that wasn't quite right. Look in the mirror and figure out you're not all that either. You're not the high and lofty one. Amen? You have not striving against sin unto blood or to death, have you? No, somebody just said a crossword to you. Have you ever just decided to overlook some things that people say sometimes? I really wonder this. It's sad, but we are having, today people, they're too selfish and think that, well, that word was offended, or the way they said that, I'm offended by that. I'm not talking about sin, folks. I'm talking about maybe somebody was having a bad day. Well, I'm going to hold them to that one word they said to me forever. What is that? Selfishness. It's not the life of self-denial. It wasn't the life of Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What was it? Well, my pride and my stature as a Christian is not going to permit me to take that kind of abuse. Right? Self-love makes men unreasonable and ever teacheth them to turn the glass to see themselves bigger, others lesser than they are. Self-love. Oh, you got to love yourself. No, you got to love Christ. Okay? Because I hate to break it to you, you're not that lovable. Okay? You're just not. Sometimes you're about as cuddly as a cactus would be. You're not. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, sometimes we're thinking about self so much in self-love. By the way, that is a sign of the end times, that men should be lovers of their own selves. That's the Bible. I'm telling you what, some of you make everything about you. Everything. Everything's about you and how you're feeling that day, or how bad of a day you're having, or how bad of a week you're having, or how bad of everything. It's all about you. Everything comes back to you. Somebody could have the greatest tragedy of their life, and you got a hangnail, and everybody has to know about it. Right? That's not scriptural. That's not biblical. It's selfishness. And it's wicked, and God hates it. And it's not a trait of a disciple of Christ. Like John Trapp said, self-love makes men unreasonable. You ever dealt with people that can't, that they love, they're so in tune to themselves so much and love themselves so much that everything, that everything's about them, revolves around them? John understood the life of self-denial, didn't he? He was getting ready to lose his head. Wait, he was the forerunner. You know, John never got to do any cool miracles. Right? I mean, John didn't get to do any cool miracles, right? He just got his head chopped off. I mean, you know, he didn't. Right, he was called the greatest prophet. He never did one miracle. Never did one miracle. Never spoke in tongues. What did he say? He must increase, but I must decrease. Yeah, I must decrease. Yeah. Eating bugs. That's right. Like Brother Paul eating bugs. But you think about that. He was the greatest prophet. But God expects more out of you and I. And that's a life of self-denial. Jesus knew a life of self-denial, didn't he? Jesus denied himself. You know, Spurgeon said this too, I have now concentrated all my prayers into one, and that one prayer is this, that I may die to self and live wholly to him. That I may die to self. You know how many problems go away when you deny yourself? When you die to self, how many of your problems in life go away? Amen? Lots of them go away. Lots of things are fixed. But Jesus went through it, didn't he? The life of self-denial. Luke chapter 22, verse number 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Look at that. What is that? The life of self-denial. He was about to have the sins of the whole world upon him, bleed every drop of blood from his body that he possibly could, be beaten and whipped, have his beard ripped out, and wasn't even be able to recognize as a man. His visage was so marred. What did he say to the fathers? He was going up, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Yeah, not do what thou wilt, but thy will, Father. Some of you don't have a clue what that means. Some of us forget what that means. because we're too busy looking at ourselves. Never mind, there's people around us that need us more than we need to mope about ourselves, but we're looking at ourselves all the time. We got our eyes on self. This life of a Christian is a self-denial. It means though my family are divided against me, though the world hate me and hate my Savior, I will deny myself, and it makes no difference. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said that to them, that he would divide families and things would happen. He was saying that because he knew what was going to happen. I will deny and divorce my allegiance to anyone and anything but Christ alone. This doesn't make a man a worse husband, it makes him a better one. It doesn't make a lady a worse wife, but a better one. Christ will divide. Go back and listen to that sermon. But that too is part of self-denial. It's not caring what the world thinks or my family thinks or other Christians think. I need to obey God and follow Him. I need to deny myself, deny my feelings about something else or my earthly pleasure of something else and take up my cross. I must deny myself. I have to deny my hurt feelings and friendships and the comforts of this life and deny myself as He did, since I was buried with Him unto death. Dying to self, dying to my comforts and friendships that would dare to trample on the holy ground of a peculiar people. But you know what? Some people are living today as if everything's about them. It's not about Christ, but about you, about what you want, about what your desires are, about what fits your life, what makes it easier for you. By the way, that's narcissistic behavior, just so you know. It's wicked. It's an exalting of self, and I'm going to make everybody miserable around me and cause as much trouble as I can until everybody recognizes me. What is it? Lovers of your own selves. One man said this, "And how readily do antinomians of all kinds, from the smooth Moravian to the boisterous foul-mouthed ranter, join the cry with their silly, unmeaning cant of legality and preaching the law. Therefore, they are in constant danger of being wheedled, hectored, and ridiculed out of this important gospel doctrine, either by false teachers or false brethren, more or less beguiled from the simplicity of the gospel. If you are not deeply grounded therein, and the great enemy of our souls, well knowing its importance, cannot but move every stone against it. But this is not all. Even those who have in some measure shaken off the yoke of the devil, who have experienced, especially of late years, a real work of grace in their hearts, yet are no friends to this grand doctrine of self-denial. Though it be so peculiarly insisted on by their master, some of them are so deeply and totally ignorant concerning it, as if there was not one word about it in the Bible. Others are farther off still, having unawares imbibed strong prejudices against it. These they have received partly from outside Christians, men of a fair speech and behavior, who want nothing of godliness but the power, nothing of religion but the Spirit." He's talking about antinomianism, that they don't want to preach that life of self-denial, that God expects something from you. God expects you to deny yourself and to take up your cross. By the way, did you know it's not His cross, it's your cross? You couldn't handle His cross. Only one could handle that cross, and that was Jesus Christ. You take up your cross. Your cross. Follow Him. On the whole, then, to deny ourselves is to deny our own will, where it does not fall in with the will of God. And that however pleasing it may be, it is to deny ourselves any pleasure which does not spring from and lead to God. That is, in effect, to refuse going out of our way, though into a pleasant, flowery path, to refuse what we know to be deadly poison, though agreeable to the state. We cannot at one and at the same time follow His own will and follow our own will and follow the will of God. Do you understand that? The will of God is self-denial for your life. That's the will of God. Don't play games. Don't act like you're following Christ and you're taking up your cross when you are living out of your own will, what you want to do with your life and the way that you want to handle everything. Because you're fooling yourself. You can't follow your will and God's. It doesn't work that way. You're a fake and a phony. Amen. Self-denial and consecration are among the highest of the Christian virtues. When we see the Savior in all His agonies doing so much for us, I cannot but think that we as Christian people do next to nothing for Him. Charles Spurgeon. Remember, this portion of the text is dealing with Jesus rebuking Peter. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, because I'm going to tell you how absolutely wicked this really is. This self-indulgence and this lover of your own self and the fact that you will not deny yourself and follow Christ. I'll show you how wicked it is. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He rebuked Jesus. You see this? Then he began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Look at this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, what happened here? I'm going to tell you, your self-indulgence is satanic. I'm going to be real straight with you. Your manipulation and your desire to make everything about you and deny and not to deny yourself, but to indulge yourself into everything and to be narcissistic with that. You know what it is? It's really satanic is what it is. Because Jesus rebuked it like it was, he said it was Satan. Peter said, "No, Lord." He's rebuking him. "No, Lord, you don't want to do that. You don't want to deny yourself and take up that cross. What does the devil whisper in your ear every day of your life? You don't want to deny yourself. No, it's all about you. What you want is important. What you want is more important than what everybody else wants. What you're going through, the struggle of your life, is more important than anybody else's struggle. And I'm going to make it all about me." What is that? Satanic. Jesus called it Satan. He rebuked him. He rebuked Satan because he was speaking in Peter's ear. It's a satanic doctrine. The love of self. Do what thou wilt. Shall be the whole of the law? Who preached that? Aleister Crowley. Who lives that? Many professing Christians today. Same thing Peter wanted. "No, Lord, you don't want to do that." And Jesus knew where that was coming from. He rebuked it. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And I'm going to tell you right now, you better tell the devil the same thing. You know, some people walk around and they live in an absolute bubble of their own making, by the way. They don't have a clue what's going on around them. They have no clue who they're hurting. They have no clue what they've done to other people. They have no clue how they vex people and hurt them. And why is that? Because they do whatever they want. That's why. Their will be done, not God's will be done. Not their Father's will be done, but their will be done. But Jesus said, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it." Can you think about that for a second? Peter rebuking Jesus. What does that mean? Blaming him to his face. That's what it means. That was Satan laying a blame. "No, you don't want to deny yourself, Jesus. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go through all that. I mean, you're You're the Lord. You're the Son of God. Why should you go up there and be crucified and give yourself? No man can take your life. You give it willingly. So why would you want to do that? See how satanic it is? That's the same thing today. Many people live in the same way, naming the name of Christ. And you know what they're doing? Living for their self. Don't call yourself a Christian or a disciple of Christ when you're living for yourself. When everything is about you. When everything is about what you want. Your desires. God has called us to the life of self-denial. Don't we have that today, though? Don't we hear the same type of stuff today, though? Oh, you must be a legalist. Oh, you're a Pharisee. Why? Because you want to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Well, that means you're a Pharisee. Because the real Christians are the ones that are living in sin. I'm just telling you. Those are the real ones. The real ones are the ones that are running around destroying people's lives, naming the name of Christ. Those are the real ones. Those that are zealous of good works and preach the Bible and try to live it every day of their lives and take up that cross daily and follow him. Well, they're the real Pharisees. See, Crowley, he had like backwards magic, didn't he? Everything was backwards. So you see, this is a satanic doctrine that has crept into churches today and crept into people's lives. And they have accepted this satanic doctrine, this backwards Christianity that's nothing more than Luciferianism or Satanism. It is a worship of self. It is not a denial of self. Listen, if you're the kind of person to ask yourself, well, how much repenting do I have to do? How much belief do I have to have? Because I can ask the same person that question that talks about repentance. It says, well, how much repenting do you have to do? Well, how much belief do you have to have? See, we can play that game all day long. The point is that men that are broken over their sin and men that are denying them, that deny themselves. No. They're not, those men aren't asking, what can I get away with, Lord, today? And they don't live under false pretenses either. I'm going to go ahead and live this way and name the name of Christ and wreak havoc on everybody. That's not a Christian. That's not the life of self-denial. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If. I know. What a legalist, right? What is a Christian? I like this, what A.W. Pink said. This is a little long, but it's good. What is a Christian? One who holds membership in some earthly church? No, not necessarily. One who believes in orthodox creed? No. One who adopts a certain mode of conduct? No. What then is a Christian? He is one who has renounced self and received Christ Jesus as Lord. Some of you are running around saying, Jesus is my Savior, but in my life, he ain't nothing to do with my, he's not my Lord. So you're saying he saved me from a devil's hell, but he isn't Lord of my life. That's phony. By the way, the same person that's Savior is Lord. It's really not that difficult. I mean, it's in the same verse. It's really scary how people can twist their minds up. So, well, it's just satanic. It's no, you don't want to deny self, right? I'm still a good person. I'm still pretty good. Hey, I'm going to heaven, so I can keep going the way I'm going. I got no joy, peace. I've got no power of God in my life, but I'll continue on the same way I'm going. It's ridiculous. He goes on to say, he is one who takes Christ's yoke upon him and learns of him, who is meek and lowly in heart. He is one who has been called under the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, there's that word Lord again. I'm going to tell you something. If he's not your Lord, you don't know him. You don't know him. You don't know him. You don't make him your Lord. He is Lord. And when he saves you, he is Lord. He's Lord anyway. But when you repent and turn to him, he is your Lord. Worship thou him. Jesus Christ, our Lord, fellowship in his obedience and sufferings now, in his reward and glory in the endless future. There is no such thing as belonging to Christ and living to please self. Do you understand that? There's no such thing. Make no mistake on that point. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after him cannot be his disciple. Very clear. And again he declared, but whosoever shall instead of denying himself deny me before men, not unto men, it is conduct, the walk which is here in view, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. He's talking about the daily living of your life. Are you trying to say he's your Savior and he's Lord and your Lord and nothing changes, it's business as usual? By the way, let me be clear with you. Christians, professing Christians that act like lost people deserve to be challenged on that and called lost. Yep. And if they have true repentance, because I'm not God, I can't know whether they're saved or not. All I can go by is their conduct and their testimony and the way they deal with their life. But if you give me a testimony that you're living like the devil, what do you expect me to believe? Call you a saved brother in Christ? No, I'm going to call you to repentance. I'm going to say, I think you're lost. I don't even believe you're saved. There's no fruit in your life of being saved. And it ought to break your heart that somebody believes that you're lost. But you know what I found most of the reaction is to that? They stiffen their neck and they harden their heart just like a lost person. Thank you. You know what a saved man does when you say that to him? Flat on the ground. No life in him. Broken. Why? Because he's grieved his brethren and God so much that no one even knows he's saved. The Christian life begins with an act of self-renunciation and is continued by self-mortification. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 13, we see that. The first question of Saul of Tarsus was what? When Christ apprehended him, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord. Not buddy. Not Jesus is my homie. Okay? But Lord. It almost sounds like it was a life of self-denial right there, that he was denying himself. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? The Christian life is likened unto a race, and the racer is called upon to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset, which sin is in the love of self. Mm-hmm. The love of self. The desire and determination to have our own way. They've all gone their own way. The one great aim, end, and task set before the Christian is to follow Christ, to follow the example he has left us. And he pleased not himself, the Bible says. And there are difficulties in the way, obstacles in the path, the chief of which is self. Listen, let me help you out. I want to help you with something. Okay, put your listening ears on, okay? I'm going to make it real easy for you. Here it is, okay? You can't live your life blaming your mother, your father, the dog catcher, Barack Obama, Russ. Although I do like blaming Russ. You can't blame Brother Aaron. Some of you, you know what? I want to ask you a question. Is your father your God? I mean, not the Father in heaven. I mean your earthly father. Is he your God? Is he? Answer, is he? Think about this for a second. Okay, is my wife or my cousin or my mother that didn't give me enough hugs or any of those people, are they my God? So how long am I going to live in the shadow of what happened to me in my past. Before I look to Christ, the author and finisher of my faith, and I deny myself and I say, you know what? I have had so many bad things happen to me, but I still deserve hell. I'm wickeder than my father was. I'm worse than my father. I'm worse than my mother. And he still saved me. See, right now you're living like these people that hurt your past or dealt with you and harmed you in some way, that these people are your God. And they have all the control over you. That's not a Christian. You have to deny yourself. And you have to say, you know what? Yes, my flesh was hurt, but it didn't touch my spirit, bless God. Amen! And I'm going to walk in newness of life, and I'm going to die to self. I am going to die to self daily. No, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to continue to blame everybody else. And you got a wicked heart, okay? You have an absolutely wicked heart that you would blame everybody else when you are a stinking, rotten sinner yourself. And you need God's mercy to help you to get through every day of your life, to deny yourself. You think you're not that wicked, right? Certainly I'm not as bad as our fathers were, right? Isn't that what the Israelites said? We wouldn't have slain the prophets like that. Oh, we're not that bad. We wouldn't have done any of that. Oh, yes, you would have. And they did. They were the ones that did it. And then they killed Jesus. And then they killed all the apostles, or many of them. They took James and threw him down from the top of the temple. Bashed his brains on the ground. He must not have been preaching love. Like Timothy, Nate's favorite quote from Martyrs, Mirrors, or whatever. Anyway, what does it mean for a man to utterly deny himself? First, it signifies the complete repudiation of his own goodness. I'm telling you, we're not good. Okay? If it wasn't for Christ every morning, I would be the most wicked, ungodly reprobate known to man. And so would you, but you're too proud to admit it. It means ceasing to rest upon any works of our own to commend us to God. It means an unreserved acceptance of God's verdict that all our righteousness, our best performances, are as filthy rags. It was at this point that Israel failed, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's just it. That's right, it's his righteousness. It's imputed righteousness, Jesse Morrell. You should look that up. Not that he listens, but I thought I'd throw that out there. Anyway, but contrast the declaration of Paul. Paul said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. And be found in him. That is the life of self-denial. Why? Because I died right there. To be found in him. There is no such thing as a Christianity that does not include the death of yourself. It's fake. It's a lie. It's satanic. It's the God of pop culture Christianity. But no, they went about to seek their own right. But Paul said that I may be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness. I want to be found in him. I'm telling you, some of you, you got to understand this. You got to get a hold of this. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what God takes you through. God can take you from one place and put you in the other at his own will, and he is righteous to do so. God can take everything away from you you love, and he's still righteous. He's still right. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For a man to utterly deny himself is to completely renounce his own wisdom. You know what I pray a lot of times? Lord, I need wisdom. I pray it every day. Lord, I need wisdom from above. I honestly pray sometimes, Lord, I feel like Solomon. I feel like a kid. I know not how to go out or to come in. I don't know what to do. Show me. I don't know what to do. Some of you are going off your own wisdom, though. You got it all figured out. You're wise. You're going to continue on in your same path. It's not self-denial. You got to renounce your own wisdom. None can enter the kingdom of heaven except they become as little children. Woe unto them that are wiser in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Oh, you got it all figured out. You're wise, right? You know, there are a lot of people out there that just need to shut up and listen. Amen? But sadly, most of them won't. They'll continue in their own wisdom until destruction comes, and they destroy everything in their path, in their own life as well. The Lord said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So Paul said. When the Holy Spirit applies the gospel in power to a soul, it is to the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. So, you know, you're going off your own understanding. Yeah, I think this will work. I think I can do this. I think I've got this figured out. I think this will be okay. I think I can do it this way. Never mind listening to those that have wisdom that are trying to give you godly counsel, but you stomp on all that. For a man to utterly deny himself. By the way, the Bible says, lean not unto thine own understanding. When you don't listen to godly counsel from this word, you are leaning on your own understanding. And you know what needs to happen? Step back and watch you fall into a pit. Because it's only when somebody falls into a pit can they realize they need help to get out. Because some people just don't listen until they do that. For a man to utterly deny himself is to completely renounce his own strength. Philippians, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, for we are the circumcision, verse number 3, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. No confidence in the flesh. You say, preacher, don't you trust yourself? No. Nope. No. The answer is no. No. Next question. Don't you trust yourself to this? No. Don't you trust your children to this? No. Why? Because I have no confidence in the flesh. That's why we have to follow godly wisdom, because we have no confidence in the flesh. We cannot. The minute you think your flesh is sanctified and you got it all figured out and you're going to be just fine, is the minute you're going to fall hard. And God's going to show you that you're a man. Amen. What did Jesus say? Turn to John chapter 15. My goodness. And you wonder why people run around. Hey, if you're a Christian, by the way, and you believe you're born again, and you're living an absolute failed life and have no victory, no power, no life, and you run around mopey all the time with no joy in your heart, here's your problem right here. John chapter 15, verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So, when you run around in a fruitless Christian life with no power, no stamina, can't take anything, what does that mean? You're not in Him. You're not abiding in Him. Because He said, for without me, you can do nothing. So how many lives have I seen with people professing to be saved, and they can do nothing?
Right.
Nothing. They can't read their Bible. They can't pray. They can't be kind to people. They can't stop being mean to people. They can't stop manipulating people. They can't stop living their lives like that. They can't stop on this endless road of destruction. Why? Because for without Him, you can do nothing. It's pretty simple. When I see somebody that has no power, that's why. But I can't do this. I can't get myself to do this. I believe you. Listen, if you go to a phony church, one that doesn't preach the Bible, and there's plenty of them out there. There's 12 of them in this city, actually. And if you go there, you can fake it pretty easy. But when you're around people that study their Bible, that read, that pray, that seek God's face, you ain't going to fake it with them, okay? You're not going to be able to play games with them, manipulate them, and play games with them, and do things with them, and be mean and unkind and nasty to people, and then act like you're a Christian. That doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because we can see right through it, because we have spiritual eyes to see it. We have spiritual eyes to see it. Because God's given that wisdom. And you can just see it. Something ain't right there. If you tell me you can't read your Bible, I believe you. And there's a reason. If you tell me you can't pray, I believe you. And there's a reason. Amen. If you tell me you can't be kind to other people, I believe you. There's a reason. Why? Because you never denied yourself and taken up your cross and followed Him. That's why. He said, for without me, you can do nothing. What a concept. He must increase, but I must decrease. For without me, you can do nothing. That's what He said, isn't it? He said, He's the vine. Amen. Don't you get it? It's to know that you're but dust. That's all you are. Yeah, He knoweth our frame. That's right. Just dust. Weak. How necessary is it then that we heed 1 Corinthians 10:12? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The secret of spiritual strength lies in realizing our personal weakness. It's to be able to get in that prayer closet and say, Lord, I need help with this, 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 and this, because I know I'm weak, I'm not strong, I'm only strong in You. What happened to those others? What happened to those kings? Bible says they were marvelously helped until they became strong. Right? They're marvelously helped till they became strong. So we have to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, not in our own selves. For a man to utterly deny himself is to completely renounce his own will. You know, a good thing for you and I to do in the morning is to wake up, look in the mirror, and say, it doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter. Your life is not your own. You're bought and paid for with a price. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not your own. You don't own you anymore. Amen? But the problem is you want to take ownership of you. You want to follow you. You want to be God. You want to follow yourself, your flesh. You don't want to deny yourself. I don't want to deny myself anything. I want to follow myself. I've got it all figured out. I want everything to be about me. I want it to be all about myself. By the way, the language of the unsaved is this: we will not have this man to reign over us. The attitude of the Christian is for me to live as Christ. See the difference? You know what we see out on that street all the time? We will not have this man to rule over us. When you preach this Bible, what do you see for many professing Christians today that love their sin when it's revealed unto them, love their wickedness when it's revealed unto them? And what do they tell you? Well, that's legalism. We will not have this man to rule over us. You know what that means when it says reign or rule? It means Lord. We will not have him Lord over us. So when you say, well, I'm against lordship salvation, I understand what you're against, I think, maybe. Okay? They kind of squiggle like a worm, you know, when you try to pin them down on that, right? They don't like to admit. But I think what you're trying to say is, I want to live a life of sin, and I don't want this man to rule over me. But I do want him to snatch me out of the depths of hell. But I don't want him to rule over me. I don't want him to rule over every action of my life. I don't want him to rule over my thoughts. I don't want him to rule over my entertainment. I don't want him to rule over my amusement. I don't want him to rule over my sporting events. I don't want him to rule over my fun. I don't want him to rule over my mind. I don't want him to do that. I don't want him to rule over my marriage. I don't want him to rule over everything about... Why? Because you've not denied yourself. That's why. Because if he is your Lord, you'll worship him and you'll follow him. You'll fail. We all do. But you'll get back up again 7 times, like the Lord said. And you'll get back up again. The Christian doesn't say, I will not have this man to rule over me. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To honor, please, and serve him, to renounce our own wills, means heeding the exhortation of Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which is defined in the verses that immediately follow as that of self-abnegation. It is the practical recognition that ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. It is saying with Christ, nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. That's what self-denial is. It's the recognition that he is Lord. It's the practical recognition. Understanding, hey, I'm not my own. Let me tell you something. When you can walk into a room and make everything about you in 5 seconds, you've not denied yourself. When you can manipulate and be unkind to people, when you can be mean to people, when you can be abusive towards others, and everything comes back to you, and whether you're happy or not. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you're in a bad mood, does everybody know it? Let me ask you. When you're in a bad mood, does everybody know it? Does your havoc get wreaked on everybody? Does it get dropped on everybody? Do they have to suffer your wrath because you're having a bad day? So everybody knows it. Guess what that is? You haven't taken up your cross. You have denied yourself. All you've done is indulge yourself and make everything about you. Wonderful way to treat children and to teach others around you how to act and behave. Make it all about you. For a man to utterly deny himself is to completely renounce his own lusts or fleshly desires. A man's self is a bundle of idols, said Thomas Manton. I'll read that to you again. A man's self is a bundle of idols. You know, when John said, little children, keep yourselves from idols, that meant you too. Because like Manton said, we are a bundle of idols. Man, there's all kinds of ways we can worship ourselves. Amen? All kinds of ways that you can worship yourself and make everything about you and make everybody miserable unless they make you happy. I'm almost done. And those idols must be repudiated, said Thomas Manton. A man's self is a bundle of idols. So true. Non-Christians are lovers of their own selves, but the one who has been regenerated by the Spirit says with Job, I am vile, I abhor myself. Of non-Christians, it is written, all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But of God's saints, it is recorded, they love not their own, their lives unto death. Remember that sermon I preached, how to kill the dragon, how to defeat the dragon? Go back and listen to it if you haven't. How to defeat the dragon. It was about 4 or 5 months ago, wasn't it? 3 or 4 months ago, I don't know. What did they do? They denied themselves. They loved not their lives unto death. That's what. You know how to get victory in this Christian life or how to be strong? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny your dreams, your aspirations, your desires. I'll give you an example of this. As preaching, with preaching and everything that we do. For a pastor, you have to let go of some things. You have to let people do different things. You have to let them lead and sometimes and do other things. When Nate first came here, I was used to doing a radio show by myself. I wasn't used to doing it with somebody. Right? I wasn't used to that, man. I'm used to doing it myself. Bring this guy along in here and... He's the pronouncer. I'm the decider. That's how it works. anyway, seriously, it was really awkward for me. And I remember, it was really awkward for me, right? I mean, we talked about it, and I talked to him about it, and I said, man, I don't know. After we did the first show, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna work, man. I don't know. And I was like, I'm not sure about this, man. And he said, well, listen, he goes, I think it's because you're used to working with yourself all the time and you're going to have to learn to work with somebody else, you know, on the radio. I said, shut up. Who asked you? He said, I think it's going to be fine. I think you just need to learn to work, you know, together in that setting with somebody else. Because everything else I did, I had to do it all by myself. You know what I mean? So... He was like, no, I think, you know, it'll work if we just have to work together. I was like, all right, I think okay, you're right. The Lord blessed it. Amen. Now, if I would have just said, no, that's not the way it's going to be. Be quiet, you little runt. I do say that once in a while. I do. I don't call him a runt, but I do. Do I? I know. Once in a while, I use my executive privilege, but he's very respectful. But anyway, but it's worked. Why? Because I denied self. No, it doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's a show we're doing together. And just because I'm the pastor of the ministry doesn't mean that we can't work together and do this together and give a little and take a little bit and allow it to happen. Right? And it worked, and God blessed it. Amen. So, but that's an example that you have to do. It's a life of self-denial. It's not about you. It's about the work of the Lord. It's about God's work. It's not about us individually exalting ourselves above measure. It's not about that. What does the Bible say? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The world is not altered any more than the Ethiopian has changed his skin or the leopard his spots. The world and Christ are still in open antagonism. Hence it is written, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It is impossible to walk with Christ and commune with him until we have separated from the world. To walk with Christ necessarily involves sharing his humiliation. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. This is what Moses did. The closer I am walking with Christ, the more you and I will be misunderstood. But that's self-denial. They don't have to understand it. Okay? The more I will be misunderstood, ridiculed, and detested by the world. Make no mistake here, it is utterly impossible to keep in with the world and have fellowship with the Holy Christ. Thus, to take up my cross means that I deliberately court the enmity of the world through my refusing to be conformed to it. Don't you understand? The day you pick up that cross, you become an enemy to that world. You're their enemy. They hate you. They hate the God that you serve. They hate everything about you. You are the enemy of the world. You're the enemy of Satan. But what matters? The world's frowns? If I'm enjoying the Savior's smiles. It doesn't matter. The world frowns at me. Big deal. Taking up my cross means a life of voluntary surrender to God. As the act of wicked men, the death of Christ was a murder. But as the act of Christ himself, it was voluntary sacrifice, offering himself to God. It was also an act of obedience to God. In John chapter 10, verse 18, he said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself." And why did he? His very next words tell us, "This commandment have I received of my Father." That's the commandment you've received too. To die to self. It's like last year, Brother Paul. It was like the worst blizzard, winter, horrible. Like he went from Texas, he did go from Texas, to like a blizzard, Minnesota, nasty weather, below zero, 50 days out of the year, horrible, working outside, car getting stuck on the side of the road, in the snowbank. just everything, right? Horrible weather. One day he was like, "I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting a job back in Texas. I'm going back to civilization." Preached a message one. I didn't even know it. He didn't tell me. I preached a message one Wednesday. I don't even know what the message was. I don't even remember the message now. Me too. Yeah, I remember. I preached a message, and I didn't even know what was going on in his heart right at that point. I didn't know, just like I don't know today. But you know what? I knew God had it for me to preach, and I preached that message, and he stood up after the service and said, "You know, I was ready to leave. I had it all worked out. I had the job all lined up. I was ready to go. I was ready to take off." What did he have to do? He had to deny himself. Now you look at the men that are coming out preaching. You look at that now. You look at what God is doing now. And if you don't deny yourself, Brother Russ, same way. You do the will of God. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know. You do what you know that the Lord wants you to do. And when he closed the door, you deny yourself and you follow him. Amen. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to understand it. You have to obey it. And obeying the will of God is never wrong. No matter if everybody looks at you, "Well, man, that didn't work out." No, it worked out just the way God wanted it to. That's how it worked out. Because he wouldn't trump God's will. God's will was going to be done no matter what. God's will be done no matter what Pastor Cooley does or what Brother Russ does. God's will is going to be done. And there were lessons of self-denial that he had to learn and go through. His family did. We all have to go through that. They are the lessons of God that God has for us. And until you do that, you will never trust him. Do we understand it? No, we don't have to. We don't have to understand it. All we have to do is obey it. That's right. We'll know later why. God will reveal it to us. He's already revealed a lot of things. Brother Russ and I have learned a lot of things in the last 8 months. A whole lot of things. Amen? And there's some men out there that'll benefit from those things. Amen. We learned our plans aren't always his plans, but honestly though, I don't believe it was a mistake. Not for a minute, not for 1 second do I believe that was a mistake. I believe it was the will of God. I believe God showed us. God shows us by shutting doors. He shows us. Amen. He shows us those things. But you know what? It's not a failure. You're never a failure for following God. I bet you Brother Paul felt like a failure, though. He came up here and it was freezing last year and he wanted to die out there. Man, this stinks. What in the world was I thinking moving here? What in the world was I thinking doing this? This is the stupidest thing in the world I could have done. I could be working in 60-degree weather right now. What am I doing here? It's 60 below! It's not even humane! Who lives here anyway? I don't know. I've been asking myself that for 10 years. But lives here anyway. But you know what? What do we do? What do we do, though? We deny ourselves. It doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter if my God decides to humble me in that way. He did. Doesn't matter if I like it. I learn from it. And that's all I can do. Amen? That's it. Taking up my cross means a life of voluntary surrender to God as the act of wicked men, the death of Christ. We talked about that a little bit. Once again, the cross was a supreme demonstration of Christ's obedience. He was our example. Once again, we quote Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, the obedience of Christ must be the obedience of the Christian, voluntary, gladsome, unreserved, continuous. If that obedience involves shame and suffering, reproach and loss, we must not flinch, but set our face like a flint. The cross is more than the object of the Christian's faith. It is the badge of discipleship, the principle by which his life is to be regulated. The cross stands for surrender and dedication to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The cross stands for vicarious service and suffering. Christ laid down his life for others, and his followers are called on to be willing to do the same. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that is the inevitable logic of Calvary. We are called to follow Christ's example, to fellowship of his sufferings, to be partners in his service. As Christ made himself of no reputation, we must not. As he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, so must we. As he pleased not himself, no more must we. As he ever thought of others, so must we. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves in the body. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Words almost identical with these are found all over the Scriptures. Surely such repetition argues the deep importance of our noting and heeding this saying of Christ. He died that we might live. So must we. Like Paul, we must be able to say, neither count I my life dear unto myself. The life that is lived for gratification of self in this world is lost for eternity. The life that is sacrificed to self-interest and yielded to Christ will be found again and preserved through eternity. Amen. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. A life of self-denial. You will never know God without it. Father, thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'd help us to take heed to this lesson. Lord, I think of Brother Nate and Cassie and the self-denial they've went through in the last few weeks and their answer to love you no matter what through everything. Lord, I thank you for that testimony. And I know you're using it and you will continue to use it for your honor and glory. Thank you, God, that you brought them here. And Lord, thank you for everyone that's here. And Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to strengthen us. Help us deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.